Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Sport on the Pat Kenny Show.
With Visit Pennsylvania. Experience the World Cup on the 4th of July only in Philadelphia. Search visitpa.com.
Well, whatever about visiting Pennsylvania in the United States, all eyes were in Dublin for the NFL game in Croke Park last Sunday when it went the other way. 7.9 million viewers tuned in to watch the Steelers beat the Vikings, making it the second most watched NFL Network international game ever. But of course, the GAA has also had a long tradition of sending teams stateside to promote Gaelic games in North America, and indeed setting up clubs for our immigrants when they arrive there. But their first attempt at an American invasion brought the association to the brink of collapse. Off the Ball's Cameron Hill is here to tell us quite an extraordinary story. Cameron, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Not bad at all. Now, the GAA was founded when?
In 1884. In fact, on November 1st, 1884, at the Hayes Hotel in Thurles, of course, the Gaelic Athletic Association for the Cultivation and Preservation of National Pastimes, its full title, shortened then, of course, to the GAA. Around this time, you also get the formation of the Irish Amateur Athletics Association. Strictly speaking, the GAA was only concerned with the promotion of Gaelic games, while the IAAA was involved in the more universal definition of athletics, namely track and field. So already you're seeing a bit of a delineation in terms of the purposes of the two organizations. This is probably why the IAAA receives an invitation to the first ever Olympic Congress in 1894 in Paris, for instance. There's no evidence of a similar invitation being received by the GAA.
Now, we know that the GAA is front and central to Irish life at the moment, but the Irish Times didn't think much of it at the beginning.
No, and it probably says more about the politics of the Irish Times at the time more than anything, that there's no mention of the association in its pages, according to Sean Moran, until June 5th, 1885, a whole 7 months after the organization is founded. So it's slightly insular. It's not very interested in outward appearance or, you know.
It's not interested in internationalization because it kind of thought that was a bit like anglicization.
Exactly.
Because the world was Britain, really, the empire,
Totally, and wanted to set itself apart from, say, the other sports organizations that were being founded in Ireland at the time that were very akin to those old Anglican models of looking at sport. Remember, we were talking about golf a few weeks ago and how professionalism was frowned upon, that it was meant to be an amateur sport for upperclassmen. That's how the sport was meant to be. This was the same, whereas they didn't love the fact that the GAA was so obsessed with fundraising, for instance.
Now, the idea of fundraising, I mean, to this day, you see the whole argument over sponsorship and, you know, they will never have a sponsor's name on Croke Park. We're sure of that. But Parc Uíochmh has fallen, as it were. So marketing and money raising was not far from the thoughts even back in the 1880s.
No, and they saw the potential of international markets as a way of enhancing the profile and the coffers of the association from very early on. And in 1885, the idea was first proposed with Michael Cusack advocating for an invasion of America in the May 21st, 1887 edition of his publication, The Celtic Times.
And that's what he called it, an invasion of America.
Yeah, an interesting phrasing considering the sort of influx of Irish immigrants to the US at the time. And Morris Davin furthers the cause, so both guys who have stands named after them in Croke Park, he raises the issue at a meeting in the Mansion House on the 30th of April 1888 with the goal of the expedition, he said, to afford our brethren at the other side of the Atlantic an opportunity of witnessing our old Irish pastimes.
So that's the idea. What was the actuality? What did they set out to do?
In practice, it was sending two teams of hurlers made up of players from across the country, as well as the best all-round island athletes from the island, to go over and basically put on a show for the Americans. Establish maybe an annual athletics and hurling contest between America and Ireland, get the GAA a foothold in America, and probably most importantly, generate revenues they reckoned of up to £5,000.
How much is that in today's money?
€650,000. Not a small, negligible amount at all.
So they were ambitious as to what the New World could reward them with.
Indeed, and 51 hurlers, athletes and officials leave Queenstown and Cork on a 9-day voyage to America on the 16th of September 1888.
So how did the voyage fare?
Not very well. So the hurlers, coming as most of them did from inland areas, were extremely badly affected by the voyage, most of them vomiting continuously, of course, not famous seafaring people, the people of Longford, for instance. And at 1 a.m. the ship was almost lost when it was hit by a massive wave. Passengers were thrown about the place, and Pat Davin later recalls in his diary that most of the hurlers remained up, saying their prayers and expecting every minute to be their last. Their state of mind was not improved by the sight of a small boat being driven around the sea with only the stump of its mast remaining.
Oh my goodness. But they did land safely in Manhattan.
Finally. And the program is exhibitions in New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Trenton, Newark, and Paterson in New Jersey, and a couple of places in Massachusetts, as well as Boston too.
Now, they're also going to have the athletics program as well?
Yeah, and at the time, Kevin McCarthy reckons that Irish athletics and Irish athletes were among the best in the world in terms of their program and their fitness. But it didn't go well when they landed in Manhattan. During a practice session, one hammer thrower lost control of the weight and seriously injured a spectator when it flew into the crowd.
Oh my goodness.
Morris Davin was a hammer thrower, and there's some evidence that suggests he might be the hammer thrower in question. So the athletics not off to a great start. The hurling, that'll save the day. They were supposed to exhibit the grace, you know, the talent, the skill, the beauty of the sport, but nobody told the players. They were quite violent affairs, it seems. And in the match at the Manhattan Grounds, for instance, there were at least a dozen hurleys broken during the match.
Well, nowadays we know that if a team, be it a soccer team, a rugby team, whatever, when it travels, I mean, they've loads of spares for togs being ripped in the scrum or whatever it might be, a new set of boots, even new contact lenses for players. How well equipped were they to replace the broken hurleys?
Not very well equipped. So they did have this master hurley maker on the trip with them. They got in contact with him. He couldn't find any ash, so he had to use hickory, which is notably more brittle than ash. So these were quickly smashed up as well. It was proving quite ominous so far.
Okay, but still, the notion, and you can imagine in an age before television and radio, and the only entertainment they had, I suppose, were travelling shows, circuses and so on. The idea of the GA putting on matches in America should have drawn big crowds.
And it did. The Irish populations in places like New York, Philadelphia, Boston, they were all very, very welcome to all of these traveling players. They wanted to welcome them in, these guys from the old country. That didn't quite translate into financial success. I've no idea how this happens, but they managed to get tangled up in an administrative civil war between the National Association of Amateur Athletes of America and the American Athletic Union over who would run the athletics in the US. Eventually, the latter wins that debate. The GAA stays neutral in the whole thing, but then we're subject to a boycott, which means that their tour was limited to 15 hurling exhibition matches, while athletes only took place in 9 events, and bad weather didn't help things either. So overall, it was pretty curtailed, this tour.
Now, we always talk about John F. Kennedy as the quintessential Irish-American president, but others had relations, including Nixon had relations in Ireland, and we know Obama famously had relations, and Joe Biden most recently. There was an Irish-American that might have proved a real money spinner for the tour.
Oh, they were hoping so. Grover Cleveland, who had no real association to the GAA up to this point, his descendants hailed from Antrim, and they thought he's going to be our ace in the hole. He'll drum up support for this tour. He was in the midst of a re-election campaign, which he'd go on to lose to Benjamin Harrison, which was seriously distracting the politicized Irish-American community at the time.
There was a lot of scandals around Grover Cleveland. I mean, I was listening to a podcast, The Rest is History, about him, and it turns out he was enormous. I mean, he was 24 stone or something. But he was a very popular president. He married, I think, while he was in the White House the first time, had 5 kids. Everybody seemed to love him. But there were stories being circulated by his Republican opponents trying to draw him into various scandals.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff.
But didn't help their cause at all either. So heavy snow then means that the 2-week-long leg to Canada they planned had to be cancelled entirely. And the £5,000 I mentioned at the that they targeted, they never got near. They ran out of money.
They went broke.
And Michael Davitt of the Land League, who was one of the founding patrons of the GAA, had to bail them out and send them £450 just to cover the shortfall. They were going to pay him back. This was their real, we'll get you back. We're going to do the show in the Madison Square Garden. A huge crowd. They reckon several thousand came to the outdoor venue, too overflowing. The local American organizers presented the Irish Invaders at the end with a bill of $75, which they claimed was the sum they'd lost on the night. So, yeah, no profit at all.
No, so they lost money on the tour, and penniless then they head home, although some of the touring party remained in the States.
Half their part. Maybe it was the voyage they didn't want to go through again, but more than 20 of the athletes opted to stay in America. Several more came home to Ireland, put their affairs in order, and headed back out. And most of them never set sight on their native shores again, Pat Davin wrote in his diary.
There were consequences.
This tour was so detrimental that the GAA couldn't afford to stage an All-Ireland Championship in either hurling or football in 1888, which was due to be the second ever. And the financial weakness of the association following this American invasion has been cited as the reason why Ireland didn't manage to send any athletes to the first modern Olympic Games in Athens in 1896. The IAAA couldn't foot the bill on their own.
But they did have a successful tour to another neighbouring country.
Yeah, there was a British invasion at Stamford Bridge with far greater success, which kind of cast doubt on whether they were as financially weak and couldn't send anyone to the Olympics as they might have put forward. But at least they're still alive.
All right. Cameron Hill from Off the Ball, thank you very much. Now, finally today.
Sport on the Pat Kenny Show.
With Visit Pennsylvania. Experience the World Cup on the 4th of July only in Philadelphia. Search visitpa.com.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.